Well, this Sunday we celebrate the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and this always falls on this day on September 14th. So when it falls on a Sunday like this year, this is really a really special thing, and the last time this happened was 11 years ago. And I think this feast for us today couldn't be more timely, especially as we see so much evil in the world and so marked by violence, confusion, and grief. Of course, just this past week, remembering the events of September 11th and those terrible acts 24 years ago. I was trying to recall yesterday. I remember it clearly, but like I couldn't remember like how old I was, and I think I was a freshman in high school. And yet it seems like, how could it possibly be 24 years ago? And then in recent days, as we've witnessed, again, so much tragedy. You know, first over a week ago in Minnesota at that school, and then the shocking video of the woman on the train in North Carolina this past week, and of course now, just a few days ago in Utah, with the shocking and tragic news of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday, the young conservative Christian activist, his life taken during an event. And in the face of such suffering and evil, we might ask, why? Why is there suffering, you know, this evil? You know, will good prevail? Does Jesus see this? And it's precisely here, into this darkness, that the cross of Christ shines the brightest. And in our first reading from the book of Numbers, God tells Moses to lift up a bronze serpent on a pole. The people, after being bitten by snakes, are told to look upon the image of what wounded them, and they are healed. And Jesus refers to this image in our gospel when he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That every time we look at the cross, brothers and sisters, we're doing the same thing. We're looking upon the very image of what wounded us, sin, hate, betrayal, pride, violence. But we're also looking at the source of our healing, which is Christ crucified. And when we look at the cross, what do we see? What do we see? You know, for us Christians, the cross stands as a contradiction. You know, it looks like a defeat. It looks like sin and death have the last word. But of course we know they do not. Because we also see in the cross the victory. That on the cross we see these two things at once. Just like those two beams that formed the cross. You know, on one hand we see the absolute capacity of evil. You know, political machination, betrayal, fear, betrayal, violence, all of which is on full display during the passion events, what led to our Lord being nailed to the cross. And on the other hand, at the same time, the other arm of the cross, if you will, we see something even greater, which is God's infinite mercy, his infinite love, his unstoppable plan for redemption. As we read from the Catechism, the third part, it is precisely in the passion, when the mercy of Christ is about to vanquish it, that sin most clearly manifests its violence. However, at the very hour of darkness, the sacrifice of Christ becomes the source from which the forgiveness of our sins will pour forth inexhaustibly. So the cross is where Jesus draws out all the powers of evil and defeats them. As St. Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians, he disarmed the rulers and authorities, the powers and principalities. And St. Paul's words made a public example, a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them in him. And we see this in ancient Rome when a victorious general, after you know a great victory, would come back and would parade through the city in triumph, followed by the captives he had conquered. And that's what Jesus is doing. He draws out all the powers of darkness and evil, sin and death, and defeats them. He leads them out like defeated captives in a victory parade. And how does our victor do that? As we heard in our second reading in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, though he had equality with God, he did not consider that something to be grasped and held on to tightly, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. That he disguises his divinity. You know, the enemy thinks he's about to win. He looks at Jesus on the cross and says, you've done great things. You've done amazing things, but I've got you. You can't escape now. But Jesus, of course, kind of luring the enemy closer and closer until ultimately he allows himself to be swallowed by death, only so that he can explode it from within. Because God can't die. So he takes on our human flesh so that he can, to rescue us. At the heart of the gospel, we heard in our gospel from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not die but have eternal life." I think when people try to summarize the entire gospel in one verse, this is often where they go, John 3:16, because this single verse reveals what lies at the very heart of our faith, which is love poured out as gift. And at the cross, for us, this is a symbol of sacrificial love, of God's self-gift. Our faith reminds us there is no part of Christ's passion, death, or resurrection that isn't God's answer to that question, why suffering and evil? You know, we look at the world today and we live in a world still marked by so many crosses, tragedy, violence, injustice. But the cross stands as a witness in a broken world today. And yes, people like Charlie Kirk, who devoted his life to faith, family, marriage, and just courageously promoting the gospel, truth, remind us that faith still matters. Faith still matters, especially in the face of death. You may have heard this too these last few days, kind of heard this tape of Kirk saying just in recent years, "I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Faith is most important in my life." That kind of witness, brothers and sisters, is only possible because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our God is not distant from suffering, but rather he entered into it. He embraced it. He conquered it. And so when we grieve, when we look at all the trials and the tribulations of life in this world, we do not do so as people who have no hope. As St. Paul reminds us in his first letter to the Thessalonians, you know, when we experience loss or grief or tragedy, it's real. But so is our faith. When we look at the cross, yes, we see our capacity for sin. All those things that brought Jesus to the cross and put those nails in him. And we rightly beat our chest and say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." But we also see in the cross God's infinite capacity for love and mercy. And that should make us respond too in a profound way, because we've been loved that much. We have been loved that much. The cross is for us as Christians, it's our symbol, and it's also, of course, the symbol of the West. It's shaped our civilization. But more than that, it's our symbol of victory. It's our symbol of victory. That in the midst of this ordinary time, we can take this day, this Sunday, to pause, you know, perhaps with heavy hearts, but to exalt the Holy Cross. To exalt the Holy Cross and to lift it high. And to remember that this is our hope, this is our strength, and this is the sign of our salvation. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.